The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Good afternoon or good evening, Rolene. How are you?
Good, and you? And this just in, this literally has broken about seconds ago. So you've got breaking news, literally seconds old, and that is that Syria is ready to guarantee the retreat of Hezbollah and Iranian militia forces up to 25 kilometers away from the Israeli border in the Golan Heights. And this is coming from the Saudi newspaper Al-Sharq Al-Awsat. So breaking news just there, seconds old. Just seen it myself.
Thank you so much. Rolene, what does that actually mean for Israel?
It does mean quite a few things for Israel. As some of you may be aware, if you have been following the news over the last couple of days, there have been unconfirmed airstrikes into Syria to Iranian targets. We have spoken at length over the last couple of months about the tension that is growing on the northern border between Israel and Syria, and the Iranian influence and the Iranian presence in Syria, as well as the arming of Hezbollah, and also the significant gains that Hezbollah gained in the last Lebanese election. So this would be a very, very important development, a very, very positive development for the state of Israel.
Rolene, are there any indications that Israel and Iran have been negotiating?
There have been some rumors. They are unsubstantiated. Apparently, also, again, in the Saudi-owned daily Elaf, that reported that Israeli and Iranian officials perhaps conducted indirect talks in Amman, in Jordan, over the weekend. And as you can imagine, the Iranian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, their spokesperson, Qassami, has denied any indirect negotiations between Israel and Iran. And this comes days after the foreign minister was caught by mistake saying death to Israel, death to the US, and death to the United Kingdom.
All right, let's move on, because there's other breaking news that actually broke this afternoon. An exchange of fire in the Gaza Strip between IDF and Palestinians.
Yes, there has been an exchange of fire. The IDF are not confirming any casualties. We've heard that there perhaps could be a Palestinian casualty, but what we Palestinians who managed to breach the security fence and who were found to be in possession of bolt cutters, knives, and flammable liquid exchanged gunfire with IDF troops on the border. These Palestinians that were captured were reportedly then handed over to the Shin Bet or the Shabak, the internal Israeli security forces, for questioning. And thank goodness, none of our soldiers were reported injured.
Staying with Gaza, Israel is going to issue a report on Gaza. Who's heading it up? Who's going to compile it? And are they going to collaborate with the United Nations?
Well, they definitely are not going to be collaborating with the United Nations. And you and I chatted last week about it, Kathy, that there would be the United Nations Human Rights Council is moving to have an independent inquiry, depending on what side of the Atlantic you sit, into the situation in Gaza, into the violence that happened between Israel and Gaza during the 7-week protest, the Great Return March protests. And Israel has said that they will not be cooperating with the United Nations. They have cited the Goldstone report as an example that, unfortunately, the United Nations, instead of being an impartial body, in their mandate have already decided that Israel is guilty. You know, normally when they do issue these kind of mandates, the wording of it has already tried Israel. They've already been judge and jury in this case. And this has happened a few times. And Israel has also said that no other democracy would stand for the United Nations having these types of inquiries into the conduct of their army. And it seems to be that Israel is the only country that is singled out by the Human Rights Council for these kind of inquiry. So Israel has said, we are a democracy. We have the apparatus, the legal apparatus ourselves, to conduct these kinds of investigations. And we will issue, or we will conduct our own investigation, and we will come to a decision from that. And, you know, there are some pundits who say, yes, but if Israel's conducting its own inquiry, they can't be impartial either. But we do have an extremely reputable military advocate general. Its Hebrew acronym is DABLA, and they are known to be extremely, extremely impartial and to go through everything with a fine-tooth comb. And if they do find any soldiers who are caught not obeying or not respecting the rules of engagement, they are brought to trial, and there is some kind of court-martial situation that does happen.
Very interesting. Rolene, unfortunately, we are out of time, but very, very quickly, can we just talk about Israel granting humanitarian status to 300 asylum seekers from the Sudan so that we can at least end on a high?
We can end on a high, and this is very good news to end on, and that is that 300 asylum seekers from the Sudan, and these are refugees specifically from the Nuba Mountains, the Blue Nile, and the Darfur region of Sudan, and approximately about 1,100 previously had managed to obtain what they call an A5 humanitarian visa, which allows the holders of these visas to obtain driver's licenses, travel documents, and work permits, very, very importantly, work permits. And this is just apparently one step below refugee status. You know, I know a lot of people are saying, how does this affect refugees or asylum seekers from other countries? And in the past, Israel has recognized just 10 Eritreans. According to the Population, Immigration and Borders Authority Director, according to international law, there is a legal definition of a refugee, and any country can expand the definition if they want to. But you know, Israel respects this particular definition and has such granted these humanitarian visas to 300 Sudanese refugees.
And that's where we leave it. Rolene Marks, thank you so much for your time. Stay safe. God bless. We look forward to speaking to you tomorrow.